and get to the business of living my real life. It was a crisp January morning in 2005, and my boss's sunlit office, his head was down. He was studying some papers, probably sales projections for the upcoming issues. When you're a salesperson, that's all you're ever doing. Studying the numbers, trying to figure out how you can make your quota, and get a bonus. Ka-ching! When he heard my footsteps, he looked up and gave a wry smile. We got along incredibly well, and I genuinely liked him. He was like me, a smart, scrappy outsider from Staten Island in his case. I count him and Wu-Tang Clan as good things produced there, who had managed to make it into the hollow halls of magazine publishing. Lots of folks were intimidated by him. He didn't suffer fools, and he didn't hold his tongue. Thankfully, I was his golden girl. Blanche, of course. He brought me onto this team to shore up fashion advertising in Rolling Stone. And in just 10 short months, I had delivered. So we had a real love affair going on. So much so that we had a nickname. We were Bevy and the Boss. Bevy of Bevy and the Boss entered the office and sat down. The boss asked what was up, and I launched into an anxiety-fueled, rambling monologue about how much I adored working with him and what an impactful learning experience it had been. It solidified that I never wanted to do sales ever again. But it was time for me to move on. "I'm quitting to lead a creative life," I said, "to act, sing, to just be." He told me I was having a midlife crisis. How dare he? Midlife crisis, an emotional crisis of identity and self-confidence that can occur in early middle age. He clearly didn't know what he was talking about, and I rebutted his theory immediately. My narrative won't be mansplained. As a Black woman from Harlem, pre-gentrification Harlem, I couldn't have that be my story. I didn't have time for a midlife crisis. I suspect there are currently a slew of folks at the Whole Foods on 125th Street or the Bikram Yoga Place on 145th, a location that was formerly a crack house, who can identify with having a midlife crisis, but not I. In fact, it was the opposite. When I decided to quit Rolling Stone, I'd found real clarity about not only who I was at that moment, but who I wanted to end up being in life. In traditional self-help books, this would be described as finding your purpose. Now, before you think I'm going to go all Zen Bevy on you, be clear that I had no fucking idea how I was going to achieve this abstract concept of living my life's purpose. I didn't have a crystal ball, but I did have enough of the spirit of the beloved Ayanla Van Zant to know that I had to fix my life. And I couldn't do that with a 9-to-5. Being tethered to a career I had outgrown was like standing for 2 hours in a pair of 6-inch spike heels. It looked good, but my feet and spirit were swollen and in agony. But of course, no one knew it by looking at me. If social media had been around in the late 90s and early aughts, the trolls might have played armchair psychiatrists trying to dissect my life. More than a decade before Instagram, I was living the Instagram life. A fierce, shapely woman, pictured frequently in exotic locales, hanging with beautiful, famous people, wearing designer outfits, and excelling at her corporate job. Mine was a grown and sexy life on steroids. I was a Samantha. If this reference is unfamiliar, Google Sex in the City and thank me later. 38 years old with a small but mighty roster of lovers and the aforementioned cushy job. When I proclaimed to anyone who would listen, friends, enemies, lovers, the Rolling Stone security guard, my mailman, my 8-year-old nephew, that I was quitting my job.